Welcome to episode 285 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in a continuing series about computers, computing, and the history thereof. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. It's all an accident.
What do you mean?
All this microchips and microcircuitry, or integrated circuitry, as they also call it. It's all an accident.
Somebody threw the wrong chemical in a bath. I mean,
except everybody was trying to do it real hard.
Whoops! I did what I meant to.
And actually, I can't remember the guy's name or the year or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want? Details? What did you think? I looked this up.
That's what we do, or what you do.
The guy had managed to put several transistors on one piece of germanium crystal.
Fancy.
Yeah, a bunch of people came up with the idea of the integrated circuit at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Doping.
Oh, right.
Which is the process of adding an impurity to your crystals to change its electrical properties. Sometimes it's optical properties, too, depending upon what you're trying to do. That's been around for a while. In the late 1800s, a couple of different people noticed that the electrical properties of these crystals had to do with their impurities.
Okay, yeah.
And this one guy working at a radar lab, or trying to get radar to work better, they've been doping crystals since the crystal radio sets, the cat's whiskers.
Yeah, those things? I remember them.
Yes.
They're called something.
This guy worked on doping and got a patent in 1950, but he was working during World War II, and his radar work was more important. He wasn't able to follow up on it. And then Bell Labs comes along. It does about the same work and gets about the same patent in 1953. There were lawsuits.
Oh, wow. I bet you Bell Labs won.
I actually don't know who won that one. And it seems like the patent office dropped the ball, right? They're supposed to tell you, hey, there's already a patent.
Oh, yeah. You know, let me make sure this hasn't been done before.
Well, anyway, everybody was using germanium,
okay,
which is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wanted to switch over to silicon.
Okay.
Because it's cheaper.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it is everywhere. In various silicates, which is a generic term for silicon bound with oxygen or metals or whatever.
Okay.
It's most of our crust.
Oh, yeah. Well, son of a buck.
So it's everywhere. Anyway, that's the economic reason. The other reason to go with silicon has to do with physics.
Oh. Ooh.
Which we talked about on Monday. So how about some physics?
Okay, how about it?
Ogle.
Ogle? Ogle. Okay, yeah, well, yeah.
I was on the way to blaspheming. I thought I'd take off the last syllable.
Nice, nice.
Or last consonant. Physics.
Mm-hmm.
God's fault.
Okay. Oh, geez. See, you're going to see the gates of hell, not end up there.
Right.
You took off that last syllable.
Took the tour bus. Where am I on this thing? Physics, right? I keep saying that and it doesn't happen. Electricity.
Yes.
You've heard of it.
There are
two different kinds of electrical charge.
Yay.
Positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
Positive is attracted to negative and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
However, positive doesn't like to get anywhere near anybody else who's slightly positive.
Oh, yeah. It's like magnets.
And negative people, they get together, they bring each other down. I mean, wait, particles. Negative particles are charges, don't
Physics. Politics.
All right. In an atom,
okay,
the thing carrying the negative charge is the electron.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got a nucleus wherein live neutrons that have no charge and protons that have positive charge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The nucleus doesn't matter that much in this case. We're talking solid state physics.
Uh-huh.
What we're mostly concerned with is this sort of lattice that all the atoms are in.
Okay.
A three-dimensional structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crystal. And whether or not any electrons can move at all.
Okay.
Because if they can't, the particular material won't carry any electrical current.
Does that make it useless?
Well, unless you want an insulator.
Oh, hey.
Oh, he. So now we've got silicon, and it's in its three-dimensional, it's a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is deliberately add a contaminant.
Oh, okay.
Which changes its electrical properties, either by making extra electrons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're free.
Okay.
Or Places where an electron should be but isn't.
Hey, okay. This reminds me of electrolysis, adding salt to water.
Pure water. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Pure water doesn't do that whole conductivity thing. Pure.
It takes very little material, and they call this doping.
Yeah.
It takes very little material added to the silicon to change its electrical properties quite a bit, which is good. Because the way they dope things is to put it in an oven with what they want to put in the stuff in a gaseous form.
Okay.
And then leave it in there at 1100 Fahrenheit or something.
Jeez, okay.
And that just gives you a few of what you need on the very surface of the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's enough.
You've become useful.
And now it depends upon what it's being doped with, whether it's going to have extra electrons and be what they call an N block or N type.
Okay.
N stands for negative. Or if there's going to be missing electrons, what they call electron holes, as if they were particles, even though they're not. And that's P type.
Okay.
For positive.
So they're making these on purpose, like P-type crystals, by doping it with such and such. Okay, cool.
Let's talk about a field effect transistor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Shockley's baby, it never did work for him.
Yeah,
well. It turns out if you put a layer of silicon dioxide on top of your doped silicon blocks, you can do field effect tricks.
Oh, okay.
Cancels the surface effects and allows the electrical field to penetrate the material.
Aha.
So there's several ways to do this. I'm going to describe one of the more popular transistors.
Okay.
All right. There's a body.
Me? What? You're killing me off already?
This is a lightly doped P. Oh, I didn't mention how. Lightly doped, you start to get holes in electrons.
Okay.
If you dope it heavily enough, it can even start to act kind of like a metal.
Neat.
So if you just want a wire. Right. So the body is a lightly doped block. It can be either P or N. We're going to use P.
Okay.
Because I like this example better.
Well, it sounds good.
On one side of it, you have the source.
Okay.
And that's a heavily doped N type.
Okay.
Which makes it kind of like a wire.
All right.
On the other side, the same type as the source. N type, opposite type of the body, P type. And you make this little sandwich.
Okay.
You have the drain, also heavily doped N type.
Okay.
Now, this is pretty obvious. The source is where the charge carriers are coming from, whether that's an electron or an electron hole. Okay. Doesn't really matter. And the source is where they go away.
Sounds good.
Either running off to ground or more often going off to some other circuit.
All right.
Right. In this device, we have a gate.
Okay.
Now, this is a thing that doesn't actually connect electrically. Its job is to add an electric field. This right?
Right.
Right. So it's doing that to the body.
Okay.
Now, while it's just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
the middle bit is actually acting like a diode that's put in backwards. It's
okay.
Only a trickle of current is getting through.
Okay.
Right. But then you start adding the electric voltage on the gate.
Okay.
Now we're going to use a positive voltage. And what happens? Well, this is a lightly doped P-type, so those electron holes, which have a positive charge, are repelled by the gate.
Okay.
Pushed down.
Ah.
That's not what's really happening. It's just easier to picture it, right? Because what actually happens is the electrons crowd upwards, being attracted by the positive electrical charge. And then, so everywhere there's a missing electron moves down.
They're getting crowded out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. So for a while there, it actually makes less electricity flow.
Okay.
Because the P's aren't going the right direction, and the N's, the electrons, have all found a home in the lattice and don't want to move.
Oh, this is a mess of a sandwich. Okay.
But now it gets a bit more charge past what they call the threshold.
Oh, gotcha.
And some free electrons start scooting up towards the top. And now, what they call inversion takes place.
Okay.
And because of the density of electrons up there at the top, I guess it's the mayonnaise in your sandwich. Okay. That can form a bridge of charge carriers from the source to the drain.
Aha.
And temporarily, that part of the lightly doped P block becomes an N block.
Oh, okay. Inversion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
So that's how that works.
I have a comparatively simple question.
Okay.
What use is it?
Oh, well, it's a transistor.
Okay, yeah.
You can use it as a switch.
Uh-huh.
Where you just basically, I'm over the threshold, hooray! Once you're past the threshold, the increase in current between source and drain is proportional to the charge on the gate. So you can also use it to amplify analog things.
Oh, okay.
And actually, there's so many different types. There could have been an N in the middle instead of a P. There's types that when you add charge to the gate actually shut down instead of turn on.
Okay.
And strange physics things.
This all sounds like logic.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think we're done, by the way, and it may have been before you said that thing about logic. And now let's talk about it some more.
Thank God we're done with physics. Wait, we're not? Oh, no.
All right, the problem with germanium
is
that it has very narrow bands. Like the description I gave of how one of these transistors works was a little simplified.
Okay.
What you actually get in your crystal are bands where some of them you can conduct and some of them you can't.
Oh, okay.
Germanium's bands are very narrow.
Ooh.
And they change as it warms up.
I see problems. Okay.
Back in the cat's whisker crystal radio receiver days, they had a little wire sitting on the crystal, and you'd actually have to fiddle with it after it had been running for a while to try and find the band again.
Where do I put this thing?
Well, silicon had wider bands, much more capable of making a reliable, behaves the same way every time device.
Nice.
There were some problems, what with it catching fire and all.
Oh. What? issues.
Yeah, well, there's that. There were some annoying electrical surface effects that were keeping electrical voltages from getting inside the crystal where we want it.
Oh, that's
right.
Terrible.
Also, it would when you doped it.
It would tend
to leak the dopant.
Oh, weird.
Which is a problem, and it corrodes. Other than that, it's great stuff.
Wait, yeah, why did we want silicon so bad? Wow. Cheap.
So Carl Frosch ran the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't have oxygen in with your silicon wafers when you're trying to cook them and add your dopant.
You can't, no.
Because then it'll just burn up, and that's not what you want.
Speaking of fires, yeah.
So they used a dry gas, they called it. They used hydrogen, of all things.
But fires.
Yeah, I would think if you want to buffer some reaction and not have oxygen there, you wouldn't necessarily use something that combines with oxygen.
So readily, yeah.
You think maybe argon or neon or helium.
All the noble gases, right?
Yeah.
No reaction. But
I actually heard there's at least one noble gas that will react if you get it hot enough.
That's got to be... But we've made extra numbers on the periodic table, right? I mean, it's there.
I think it's argon. I'm not sure which one it is, but... Whatever, they were using hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
There's these bottles and these tubes and heating elements and leaks. Well, one day in 1955, there was a leak.
Okay.
And when they opened up the oven, they pulled it out and the little wafers had turned green.
Oh, interesting.
Turned out that there was a layer of silicon dioxide on top of the silicon crystal.
Oh, this is an accident.
This is an accident. But it wasn't just that it burned. It only combined with oxygen on that top layer.
Uh-huh.
Now, silicon dioxide, that's what window glass is made of.
Okay.
Sand at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quartz crystals, you've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a single layer of thin quartz crystal and a single crystal.
This is good, though. Right?
now I get into some questions as to how this happened exactly. Carl, mm-hmm. It wasn't just that there was an accident. He noticed it. He realized it could be a good thing, and he figured out how to do it again.
Wait a minute.
On purpose this time. By the way, the color,
yeah,
it isn't actually, there's no dye or anything that was green. It was the thickness of the crystal layer and an optical effect.
Oh, okay.
The crystal layer happened to be about the same as the wavelength of green light.
Okay.
Another batch came out purple.
But still, it's still a layer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, what's the good thing about having some silicon dioxide atop your silicon?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. Okay. It no longer catches on fire.
This is important, okay?
Those annoying electrical surface effects are gone.
Hey, okay.
It no longer leaks dopants, and it no longer corrodes.
So all of the problems they were having.
Yes, all gone at once.
This is amazing.
And even when there weren't fires and things weren't going wrong with the oven, they were getting pitting and so forth on their silicon when they were trying to dope it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carl goes, well, what if we just take away bits of this crystal layer we've added and then only dope selected regions?
Okay, what if we do that?
Well, what you do is, for example, is grow yourself a crystal, lightly doped as a P-type crystal.
Right.
Right? And then you take away a couple of bits on either side of a small region and dope them heavily as N-type.
Oh, okay.
And then you cook it again to put over another protective layer of silicon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a layer of metal over that to act as your gate.
Well, hey.
And you've made the kind of transistor I explained on Monday.
All one solid unit.
Yep.
Many steps, but one solid...
Oh, many steps. We're just barely scratching the surface here. A decent integrated circuit can go in and out of the oven like 50 times. And they've come up with techniques to be able to selectively remove that layer and do other such tricks and be able to make these really, really tiny pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be wondering, well, how do we get such tiny pieces?
We'll
talk about that next time.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.